I'm sure we are all familiar with the idiom, in the nick of time. The phrase used to be, in the nick, and dates back to the 1500s, when nick meant the critical moment. A nick stick was used to keep track of time, points and transactions that took place. It was especially useful, apparently, in sporting events. A nick is a small notch that is used as a marker. It is very small and precise. Thus, if something is done in the nick, it is done at the exact time or place it should be. In the nick of time means last minute, just in time, 11th hour, or last ditch. I'm sure we've all had situations in our lives when we arrived somewhere, maybe, for example, a wedding, in the nick of time. Now, not your own wedding, but somebody else's. Listen to these words written by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verses 1 and 2, and see if you get the connection with the idiom in the nick of time. Paul writes, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." The words in 2b in the Authorized Version are frequently used by evangelists to proclaim the gospel message at evangelistic meetings. No doubt you're familiar with the old rendering, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard that mentioned in sermons over the years. I can recall many stirring, powerful evangelistic sermons based on this text. Paul presents a warning to people to accept the offer of salvation in the present time, and not at some future time in the future. Paul implies that an opportunity to receive salvation may in fact not come in the future. Listen to the way Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrase puts our text, and then you will see the connection with the idiom and indeed the reason why I chose it for the title of our talk today. Eugene Peterson says, "God reminds us, I heard your call in the nick of time. The day you needed me, I was there to help. Well, now is the right time to listen, the day to be helped. Don't put it off. Don't frustrate God's work by showing up late." There were some people in the church at Corinth who were still uncertain about the gospel. While they may have heard the apostolic gospel from Paul, they had received it in such a way that it had not become a transforming influence in their lives. Perhaps they still clung to the belief that they could achieve their own salvation. Any such delusion was to, as Paul puts it, receive the grace of God in vain. Paul pleads with them to welcome the good news, which alone their salvation depends. He introduces an element of urgency in order to prompt the erring Corinthians to mend their ways speedily. To underline his point, Paul borrows some words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49 and verse 8a. This is what the Lord says: "In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you." In their original context, these words were addressed to the servant of the Lord and applied to the time of Israel's release from exile in Babylon. Paul makes his own application of Isaiah's words. If the time of the exile's return was a day of salvation, then the time when God has acted in Christ to reconcile the world to himself is the day of salvation par excellence. Paul appeals to the people to receive the grace of God. He makes his appeal in a negative form, verse 1b. "We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." The grace of God was most conspicuously shown in Christ's redemptive work as a sin-bearer. Paul emphasizes that now is the time of God's favor, when God will hear them. Now is the day of salvation, when God will help them. Indeed, he will save them. The day of salvation has dawned for us through the death and resurrection of Christ. Paul would have sounded this urgent note both in his initial appeal to the people at the point of their conversion, as well as in his pastoral exhortation to wayward believers in the church at Corinth. One commentator, Victor Furnish, writes, "For Paul, the day of salvation heralded by the gospel is also a day of decision for those who are addressed by it. And the claim, as well as the gift, is renewed every day that the believers continue to live in the world." It is important to notice that Paul is not in any way applying some kind of psychological pressure on his readers. Rather, he is engaging in true evangelism when God himself draws near through the words of a human spokesman. It is God who summons people to enter into and remain in a relationship of reconciliation with himself. Paul pleads with the Corinthians to accept the offer of the grace of God when it is available to them. So let me quote again the words of the famous text: behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I wonder, is there just maybe someone here this afternoon in the Warriors Chapel who has received the grace of God in vain? You have heard the way of salvation preached at many services in the chapel, over in the main sanctuary, and hosts of other places. Even though you fully understand what salvation is all about, for some reason, you continue to frustrate the grace of God. You are content to leave this matter of salvation to a future time, maybe what you would consider to be a more convenient time. That was the mistake some of the people in the church at Corinth made. Paul wants them to realize that the day of salvation was with them in the present. They were not guaranteed that they would have an opportunity to receive salvation at a future date. In the meantime, all they were doing was frustrating the grace of God. Paul has just given them a summary of the gospel. He explains that the sinless Jesus was made sin by being condemned to a criminal's death. He had to endure the disgrace and punishment of the cross so that those who are sinners might be acquitted by the holy God and be free to enter upon a life pleasing to him. The heart of the gospel is a message of forgiveness. It comes to us through the grace of God. That's why it is incumbent upon us to receive it. In the British summer of 1978, a long time ago now, during my university vacation, I was assigned to work with a man called Mr. David Henderson, an Irish mission worker who was serving with the Irish Mission, which is a branch of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It does most of its work in the Republic of Ireland. Mr. Henderson had a very unusual method of evangelism. It was quite an experience, I can assure you, to work with him. He used a decommissioned London red double-decker bus. It was known as, he came up with the title, and he had it written in letters on the front of the bus, Irish Mission Bus. During my 3 months working with Mr. Henderson, he drove the bus to different towns in Ireland where we held children's missions and did evangelistic ministry. Maybe I should just slip in, I meant to say this a moment ago, Mr. Henderson was probably late 60s when I went to work with him. And he was a bachelor. A few years later, I'm digressing here for a moment, so forgive me. But a few years later, a friend of mine happened to meet me at a Christian event, and he said, "Have you heard about Mr. Henderson?" And I said, "No, when did he pass away?" "Pass away? You're kidding me. He's got married and he's got a new lease of life. So there you go. It staggered me at the time, but there it is, because he seemed to be a confirmed bachelor when I was with him. Anyway, back to the time that I worked with him. We ate and slept on the upper deck of the double-decker bus, and the seats in the downstairs area were retained, and that provided us with the seating capacity for the meetings that we held on the bus. So we would go out into the area and invite kids along to our meetings, and we had great fun. It really was a most memorable time. There's one day, he wasn't the most imaginative cook, and one day, and I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating when I say this, he had his usual porridge in the morning, which he served me. He was a bit lazy that particular day, and he decided to have some porridge at lunchtime. And you'll not believe it, he actually offered me porridge for my dinner. I'm not finished. He offered me porridge for my supper. And I declined, and I went to the local chippy instead. But that's another story. I mentioned Mr. Henderson for this important reason. Each morning, we had devotions. He would read a passage from the Bible, or maybe I took my turn as well. And then we had some time of prayer together, praying about our work that coming day. Mr. Henderson always started his prayer with the same phrase. And he used the old-fashioned language. O God, we thank Thee for another day of grace and opportunity. He repeated it every morning. I often recall his words, which are etched in my mind. So as I close this little address today, I want to say this. Over 42 years later, on the 21st of October 2020, is yet another day of grace and opportunity. But we have no guarantee there will be another one. That's why it is essential to capitalize on the opportunity when you have it. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. None of us is guaranteed another day of grace. Don't put off the decision to become a Christian to what you think will be a more convenient time. Such a day may never come. Accept God's offer of salvation in the nick of time. Amen.